Let's lift our hands one more time. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for an awesome presence. Lord, we love you there today, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You can be seated this morning. Last Sunday morning, I spoke on a subject. It's going to get worse before it gets worse. We spoke of conditions and the troubles that are facing and plaguing not only our city, not only our families, but that are plaguing our country, that are plaguing our world. And I told you this was, last Sunday was one part of a three-part series, I guess you could say, of messages that I feel God is laying on my heart. And we have a sin problem in our world. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but all of the problems that we deal with and we see every day is a result of sin. Because man, internally, we're corrupt. We were born this way. We weren't created this way. When God created us in the garden, he didn't create us corrupt. He created us as sinless creatures, such as himself. But he did give us the power to choose. He gave us the power of choice. And every one of us here this morning has a choice. You chose to be here. You chose the color of clothing that you put on this morning. You made a choice. As we look across our world, the corruption is at all levels and the sin problems abound. The church as a whole, I'm not speaking of this church, but the church in general, all churches, every denomination of churches, I believe, are at its weakest state that they have ever been in. We have churches that are caving into political pressures, caving into what's socially acceptable, and they're not standing up for what is in the Word of God. They're not standing up to the principles and the laws that God has laid down for humanity, for you and I to live by. And it seems like this tsunami of sin is crushing over this world. This sin is on a rampage. But I want to take and make you aware and make you assure that the almighty power of God is still in control. God still is in control of what is going on in our world today. He is in control of what is going on in America today. He is in control of what is going on across this globe. God is still on his throne. He is paying attention to what is happening, and everything that is happening for a purpose. We have to remember that Jesus, when he was here on earth, he spoke of the conditions of man and the conditions of the world in the end times. He gave us many heeds and warnings as to what is to come. But we must remember as a saint, and you must remember as a sinner, as I begin to get into this message tonight or this morning, that we still are on this side of eternity. The rapture has not taken place yet. There is still an opportunity for you today to make the right choice. But there are also ample heeds and warnings that someday you will no longer have that choice to make. That choice has already been made for you by your lack of willingness to make a choice. You will be forced into a place called hell. If you make the wrong choice, the rapture has not happened yet. You and I still have a chance to repent, to make our hearts right with the Almighty God. This message this morning is going to be a very sobering message. It's not a message that I want to preach. I fought this message all week long. As I began to prepare and put together the notes for this message and begin to go into various commentations and go into to the scripture and begin to read about hell, I got up numerous times, Brother Rich, and had to go and repent because I said, God, this is an awful place. I do not want to go there. And I pray this morning, I'm not making any excuse for the graphic content in this message, because the Bible speaks very graphically when it begins to explain what hell is really going to be like. But as sure as there is a hell, next Sunday morning we're going to talk about heaven. You see, heaven is a place that we all want to go to. Most of us, a lot of us, don't want to pay the price to get there. We don't want to take and do the requirements that God requires of us. You see, it's His home. He's a holy God. We're going to talk about that next week. Next week will be much more of an exciting message because we all want to go to heaven and we all want to talk about heaven. But nobody wants to go to hell. Salvation is still available to anyone who asks or seeks of it. It is here today. Jesus Christ is here this morning. If you came in here this morning broken, I promise you, you can leave whole. If you came in here lost this morning, I promise you, you could leave here saved. If you came in here this morning, you were broken, you were tired, you were frustrated, you can leave here put together on a right path with purpose in your life. You may walked in here a sinner today of the lowliest kind, but you can leave here a saint of the Most High God. You could walk in here on your road to hell, as the song says, pulling an old song, I'm on the highway to hell. There's no stop signs, no speed limits, nothing is going to slow us down. It's a song that was written by a rock and roll band. You may be on that highway this morning to hell, but you don't have to end up there. You can change. It can all be changed if you make the right choice. You see, we have a common enemy, you and I, and that enemy is Satan. And he's working overtime to destroy you and I. He's working overtime to destroy our marriages, our families, our country, our church, and our world. John 8:44 tells us that he is a liar and he is the father of all lies. And one of the greatest lies that he is telling in this century, one of the greatest lies that he has, one of the greatest deceptions he has going, thus one of his greatest triumphs, is a simple growing disbelief in the very existence of a place called hell. For many churches today, hell has become a fantasy. It is nothing more than a myth, an outdated, archaic holdover from the Old Testament, where a God of fire and a God of brimstone and a God of judgment pours out his wrath upon the people. And it is urged on by false prophets and ministers that simply do not want to take and speak of this topic over their pulpits. False doctrines such as, I can believe whatever I want to believe and be saved. Whatever I want to believe, whatever fits my lifestyle, and whatever is least restrictive to me is the way I feel. I want to be saved. I want to take and be able to pick and choose what I believe in the scripture, thus eliminating the real need for hell. But I tell you, salvation is here today. Hell is real. And if you don't be careful, you will wind up there simply because you refuse to make the right choices. People say repentance. Are you serious? Do I really have to take and repent for every sin that I've ever committed? Yes, you have to, because the Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Hell, Satan. Do you really believe in Satan anymore? Do we really believe in that? My pastor, I can't believe I went to church last week and he had the nerve to speak about hell. He had the nerve to speak about sin. It made me uncomfortable. I didn't feel very comfortable there. I'd rather you have 30, 40 minutes of uncomfort than an eternity of uncomfort. Hell has not suddenly evaporated or disappeared simply because you don't believe in it. It is in here, my friend. Many, many, countless scriptures in the Bible speak of hell. Hell for a lot of people has simply just become a joke. Do not be deceived this morning. Hell is an eternal punishment for sin. It's an eternal punishment for sin. It's not an eternal punishment for me and for you. It's an eternal punishment for sin. But if you have sin in your life, then that is where you will spend that eternal punishment. There will be no sin in heaven. You have to understand that. The Bible makes it very plain. We laugh about jokes about hell and songs about hell. I mentioned Highway to Hell and Hell's Bells, and it's going to be a cold day in hell. How many times in anger have you looked at someone and looked at them and maybe shook your fist at them because you were mad on the job and told them to go to hell? How many of you heard that in movies just before the bad guy shoots another bad guy? I'll see you in hell. Desensitizing society as if hell is just another word. In the Old Testament, there's over 30 references of the existence of hell. It speaks of death. It speaks of destruction, the perils of hell, and the Lord Almighty will take revenge. Revenge on them. Depart from me. Come not near me, because thou art unclean. And these shall be smoke in my anger, a fire burning all the day. It goes on in the book of Job. You can read through Job, and it talks about how that hell, he shall be punished for all that he did, and yet shall not be consumed. Meaning that the sin is going to dwell in hell. Sin will be trapped in hell. And if you have sin in your life, you will be trapped in hell with your sin, but you will not be consumed by the flaming fire, but every sorrow shall fall upon him. All darkness is hid in his secret places. A fire that is not kindled, a fire that will burn forever, shall devour him. We go into the Gospels and Jesus speaks of hell more often than he spoke of heaven. I believe he understood exactly what hell was, and he understood that if you and I don't get a grasp of this eternal punishment. That's why he spoke of hell. Almost twice of what he spoke of heaven. We read in the book of Mark chapter 9 verse 42, and if your hand causes you to sin, what does the Bible say? It says, cut it off. Jesus is saying, listen, it's better for you to go to heaven without your hands, without your feet, without your eyes, because you will have a new body. I will give you a new body than to go to hell with both hands, both feet, and both eyes. Matthew, the Son of Man shall send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers, and will throw them into the fiery furnace where there'll be wailing and grinding of teeth. In the book of Mark chapter 9 verse 42, I says, if your hand caused you to sin, cut it off. For it's better you to enter into life maimed than go to hell with two hands into the unquenchable fire. And the description, I think one of the most descriptive portions or most descriptive of hell is in the book of Revelations, and it says, I saw the dead, great and small, standing in presence of the throne, and the books were open, and another book was open, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged according to those things were written in the books according to his works. I don't know if you understand that this morning or not. I don't really care this morning if you understand it or not, but the fact is everything we say, everything we do is being recorded. Every work of evil that you do is being recorded. Every work of good that you do is being recorded. And someday those books are going to be open, and God is going to say, John Ripka, this is a history of your life on earth. And we must understand, Brother John, that someday we will be judged. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell gave up their dead that were in them, and they were judged according, everyone according to their works, and hell and death were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in to the lake of fire. Jesus Christ could not make it any more clear. He could not have warned us any more in any more of a graphic way that each one of us, by the choices we make, take a risk every day that could send us to hell. Jesus tells a story in Luke 16, 19 through 31. I believe that this is an actual story about what happens, giving an example of both the saved and the unsaved person when they die. You see, death and hell is no respecter of persons. You can't say, but Lord, you know, I was poor all my life. I didn't have anything. I don't deserve to go to hell. But you see, if there's sin in your life, there's no choice. You don't get to make that choice once it's too late. There was a certain rich man, and who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed of the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. In today's terms, it would probably be, and he desired to eat out of the rich man's garbage can. It scrounged through the dumpster, perhaps, out behind the rich man's complex, desiring to be fed with the crumbs, digging through to try to find one more day's worth of food to keep him going. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He's in hell and he's looking over into heaven. And he sees this and he cries out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted. Now he is in heaven. He is in Abraham's bosom because he made the right choice. And thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us, there is a great gulf fixed, so that which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass unto us that would come from thence. You see, my friend, once you are into hell, there is simply no way out. Once you enter into the gates of hell, I've heard it explained, there's a sign over the gates of hell that says, when you go beyond this point, to leave all hopes behind. Because once you enter into hell, there is simply no way out. This message title this morning is No Way Out. You can't get out of hell. No relative on this side is going to light enough candles and pray enough prayers to get you out of hell. Hell is final. Sin demands justice, and justice is served for eternity. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. I have five brothers that go testify to them. Go tell them I have family back at home. Give them a warning about this place called hell, for I am in torment. I can't stand it. It's unbelievably painful and it won't go away. Abraham saith, you had Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but I went unto them from the dead. They will repent. And he said unto them, if they will not listen to Moses, and they won't listen to the prophets, if they won't listen to Pastor John Grant, if they won't listen to Pastor Roy Grant, if they won't listen to Pastor Thomas or Brother James Hawk or Pastor John Seidel, then they're not going to listen to me. The rich man speaks of his place in torment. How bad is hell really? How bad is it really truly going to be? You see, hell is described as a furnace of unquenchable fire. A place of everlasting punishment where people are tormented in both their minds and their bodies. Hell is a place from which God's mercy, God's goodness has been withdrawn. There will be no sympathy in hell. No one is going to come up to you and pat you on the back and say, I feel your pain. It won't happen in hell. No one in hell is going to care about you anymore. No one is going to pray for you. No one is going to give a rip about what your pain is and what you're going through. We have to understand what hell really is. There will be no mercy. It's a place where God's wrath is revealed as a terrifying, consuming fire. It's a place that is equivalent, if I can imagine, the sun that is nothing more than a burning ball of fire and flame. Jesus describes the fate of the wicked, and he speaks of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you ever hurt yourself? Gritted your teeth from the pain. So much pain you could hardly stand it. Your teeth hurt. Afraid if you gritted any harder that your teeth might shatter in your mouth. You ever had pain like that? I remember one time years ago in construction, I accidentally ran a nail through my palm. It just barely poked out on the other side. And oh, I gritted my teeth, Brother Thomas. It hurt. My whole body hurt. My elbow, it felt like it was on fire from the nerves. Probably the worst, most intense pain I've ever felt in my life. Gritting your teeth, the Bible says that he speaks of weeping and gnashing of teeth. A great furnace. Revelation 19:20 says hell is a lake of fire burning with brimstone. I don't think we can really imagine the horror of hell. Imagine every part of your body on fire. Not just hot, but every part of your body on fire at the same time. Every fiber of your being feels the intense torment of being burned. How long could you stand the pain before the pain in this life would drive you into insanity? But in hell, you will not lose your mental capacity. You will have that mental capacity. You will not have the ability to go insane. You will be intact with your mind and your body, and you will feel your body literally boiling the surface of your body, the interior of your body, your blood, our entire bodies will simply be boiling from the heat. I can't imagine something so terrible. And the Bible says that the worm shall never die. And I don't know what kind of worm it is in hell, but it's another type of a torment that as your body literally boils from the pain, you will have worms crawling in and out of your ears and your nose and your mouth and your eyes. And as you scream in pain, it will not go away. You can't get rid of it. You can't outrun it. You can't. It's there forever. 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 I've heard guys say, when I get to hell, we're going to play poker. We're going to get down and we're going to have some heavy duty, mean and nasty poker. Listen, there won't be no poker games going on in hell. There won't be some cool little corner in hell that you can grab your buds and your homies over to and you can sit down and say, let's shuffle out a few rounds of some poker and have a little fun while we're down here. It's not going to be that way. You will never, ever find a resting place in hell. You will never be able to find that little stream of cool water or just a drop as the rich man. Give me just a drop. Give me just a drop of water on the tip of my tongue so that it may ease some pain. It won't be there. It won't be there. There'll be no company for you to keep in hell. You will be in isolation. You will hear the screams and the torments of the others, but you won't be able to see them. It will be a most lonely place. You will feel like you're falling and falling and falling and falling. Fear in your heart, because it's not our nature to continue to fall. But you will continue to fall. Your body will be in intense heat, boiling. Worms in and out of your every orifice in your body. As you fall, you begin to scream and curse. And as you begin to scream and curse, the sins that followed you on this earth are going to follow you into hell. Every sin, every iniquity that is within your heart is going to be in hell with you. You will never rid yourself of the bitterness that you've allowed to rise up and destroy you. You will never rid yourself of your addictions to drugs and alcohol. If you're here and you're addicted to drugs and alcohol and you can't go 30, 40 minutes without a cigarette, you're going to have that craving. You're going to have that craving in your heart and in your mind while you are in massive amounts, unbelievable pain. Hell. It's forever. It's forever. It's forever. Tormented. You know, I can't wrap my mind around eternity. I've tried. I said, Lord, somehow, some way, help me understand. Help me understand and grasp eternity. I heard a story some years ago about a dove. If you took a steel ball the size of the earth, you took one single dove, and every year that dove would fly past Earth and follow the Earth's path in the solar system. And one day a year, as it came past this massive steel ball, it brushed its wings on that steel ball. And every year, year after year, millions of years pass, and billions of years pass, and trillions of years pass, and once that steel ball is worn down to nothing, eternity has yet to begin. I can't grasp it, James. It's not in my mental capacity to understand it. There's no mathematical formula that you're going to be able to sit down and figure out how long eternity is. Our minds cannot conceive the concept, but it is real. It is very real. You see, this aspect of hell alone should cause men to cry out in repentance. As I said, I would work on this message a little while and I had to go kneel down on the floor and say, Lord, God, if there's anything in my life, if I got anything, Lord, I don't want to go there. I don't want to spend eternity in that place. But you see, in large, we have no fear of hell anymore. And the reason we have no fear of hell is because we have no fear of God. Society today has no fear of God. Because they don't fear God, they're not going to fear a place called hell. And if we're not careful, saints, we can lose our fear of God. And if you lose your fear of God, you will lose your fear of hell. You see, there are people that substitute doctrines like the annihilation of the wicked, or that, well, he goes to hell and he's just going to burn up and it's over with. It's done. You'll feel a little bit of pain. You'll feel some suffering, but it'll be over with. Just grit your teeth for a few hours and your body will be consumed and it'll be gone. Larry Connolly will be no more. But you see, Revelation 20:10 states something very contrary to that. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. You can add as many zeros as you want to, but forever is forever. After millions of years, your torment has just begun. You will forever remember that you were warned on earth and how you ignored those warnings to live a self-centered, self-satisfied, self-indulged, self-pleasing life. You will remember this very church service. You will remember the words that are coming out of my mouth as this message goes forth. They will ring forever in your ears as you curse and shake your fist. Refusing to repent, refusing to forgive, refusing to give up all those little petty issues. When you think about it, I can't think of anything in my life that I would be willing to trade my soul over. Nothing. I love all of you. But I'm not going to trade my soul and eternity to preach something that's pleasing to our ears. I can't do it. Because if I do that, I myself shall become a castaway. Because I will become a false prophet. The Bible speaks of false prophets having their part in the lake of fire. There's nothing in my life that I can think of that's petty enough that I'm not willing to forgive over, that I'm willing to swap out for an eternity in hell. And I hope it always stays that way. So I ask you this question today. Who is really going to hell? According to Matthew 25, 41, it says Satan will be there. His angels will be there. Revelation 21, 8 reads that all liars. Have you ever told a lie? Anybody in here ever told a lie? You better have your hand up or you're going. It ought to be unanimous. We've all told lies. The cowardly. You ever been a coward? Unbelieving. There are times you've not believed or refused to believe what's in the Word of God. The loathsome, detestable, hateful, obnoxious, despicable, damnable, diabolical, disgusting, revolting, repulsive, offensive, repugnant, reprehensible, horrifying, foul, vile, wretched, horrible, dreadful, nauseating, murderers, sexual immorality, sorcerers, idolaters, people who idolize other people and things. You ever idolized, had an idol in your life? You know what an idol is? Let me explain to you very simple what an idol is. Staying home to watch the Super Bowl instead of coming to church. Hey, we got to make it plain here. Hell is forever. You say, am I going to go to hell just to, because I stay home and watch the Super Bowl? If it's in your heart and that Super Bowl is more important than your salvation, then you might want to think through recording it, watching it later. Idols. Is that, it says idolaters. We always think of idolaters as people that bow down to stone images. How about education? It can become an idol. Anything in your life that replaces God is an idol. Got to be careful, mothers. Your children can become idols. They can. You see, in short, 2 Thessalonians says all sinners who choose to remain in their sin will be found in hell. You see, hell, whether you believe it or deny it, it is real. Sin demands it. Why? Because sin is a violation of the law of God. If there's no punishment for sin, then there could be no law. And for law without penalty is null and void. We have laws in our land. We all understand that. We speed, we get caught. There's a penalty. You sin, you get caught, there's a penalty. You see, if there's no law and there's no sin, then that would make the death of Jesus Christ totally useless. Would be no need. But you see, the reality of life after death also demands the reality of hell. When you read about Lazarus and the rich man, you see, Jesus spoke of two distinctive destinies. He spoke of comfort for the righteous, but he spoke of punishment for the wicked. You may say, Brother Roy, who is the wicked? I just explained to you as we went through all of those different types of people. Many people find it difficult to really accept the reality of hell because they cannot believe that such a loving and merciful God could create such a place of torment. But you see, hell is not contrary at all to the nature of God. If no punishment was given for violation of His laws, then God would not be the just God that He is. But being a just God, being a fair God, He will reward the righteous with heaven, and He will punish the wicked with hell. You see, God desires that all are saved. But you see, people will not be in hell because God would not save them. Understand that. You won't be in hell because God refuses to save you. You will end up in hell because you made a choice to be there. Others, people just simply love sin more than they love righteousness. People just walk away. I've seen people, hundreds of people that come in, are saved, live a fairly productive Christian life, and the pleasures of this world, idols, fishing, horses, hobbies, whatever it may be, and they slowly walk away. You see, we're never guaranteed another moment past this moment. The last few years, I've conducted 4 funerals here at Calvary Gospel Church of people under the age of, I think, 28 was the oldest. You may say, well, you know, I'm young, I'm healthy, life is good, I'm pretty tough. I can relate to that running a nail through your hand. Yeah, I've been there. I've hurt myself. I'm pretty tough. I can handle it. Death doesn't necessarily scare you now. You're not afraid. Because we think we're going to live forever. But we all get older, don't we, Brother Huber? Brother Brunker, we get older. Surely as every day the sun rises and every day the sun sets, we're getting one day closer to death. Your end will eventually arrive. If I so may use some examples, Brother Vern Washburn, I remember when you used to play softball at church picnics. That's not happening anymore, is it, Brother Vern? Why? Because there have been a number of sunrises and sunsets. We look at Brother Manley and Sister Manley, some of our aging saints, Sister Jan, Sister Armstrong, some of the number of sunrises and sunsets have come and gone. And sooner or later, we will all go by the way of the grave into eternity. And when we close our eyes in death, there is no way out. We can't come back. When we're dead, and after death comes the judgment. The end will arise as you step out into eternity with or without Christ. If you step out without Christ, you realize that it's too late. That your sins are still unpaid for. And you will come face to face with the Jesus you think right now you don't need. You think right now I can go another week or another month without Him. But you see Him face to face after you have refused Him.
And he that you rejected will look at you, Brother Noah, and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Oh, that's sobering. To have the God of creation look at me, Roy Grant, and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. And you will burn forever and forever. And no one will hear and no one will care. You see, my friend, hell is real. And you can't escape the torments of hell by doing simply one simple process. If you stand to your feet, if our musicians come, you say, well, Brother Roy, I kind of really expected to have a real upbeat message this morning. But listen, we have to understand the reality. The fact is that if we don't reach our families and we don't reach our friends and we don't reach our neighborhoods and we don't reach our city and our world, they will be on a highway to hell. Easy living, living free, a season ticket on a one-way ride. There's no stop signs, no speed limits, nothing's gonna slow it down. But you see, you can avoid it all by simply repenting. Repenting. The lies, the cheating, drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever it is that has a grip on your life. There'll be none of that in heaven. I'm sorry. But if you're addicted to porn and the rapture takes place, don't expect to have a place waiting for you. If you're an alcoholic, there'll be no drunkards in heaven. Don't sell yourself out for what someone else is trying to say to make you feel good, except you repent. Ye shall likewise perish. Repentance. And then baptism. You see, you can repent and ask God to forgive you for that sin, but it's still there. You got to go down in baptism. You got to go down in water in the name of Jesus. Jesus was sitting on the throne in heaven. He is our God. We will be worshiping Him for eternity. His name must be placed in your heart. And baptism does that. You can't make it to heaven without baptism. There's no other way. Give it among heaven. Baptism. You must be baptized. But you see, we talked about Satan and how that hell was really designed for Satan and his angels as an eternal place of torment. God came to earth in the form of a man, Jesus Christ. He was born on this earth. He was crucified, and his blood that was shed for our salvation, to cover your sins and my sins. If I could be so simple, it's our ticket to heaven. Without it, you're not going. You're not getting on the train, my friend. I can't get on the train to go to Seattle, Amtrak, if I don't have a ticket. And when the rapture takes place, and we're going to talk about that next week, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, I look at this. Holy Ghost is the go power that gets me from here to heaven. It's the go power that helps me sustain life over sin here on earth. Do I make mistakes? I can't tell you how many mistakes I make, but let me tell you, I'm quick to repent and I'm quick to say, God, I want a refilling of the Holy Ghost. I gotta have some more power. He didn't leave us hopeless and helpless. He gave us repentance. He gave us baptism. And he gave us the Holy Ghost. And that, my friend, is your ticket. But without it, when the rapture takes place, you will still be here. You say that with confidence. I say that because this here is my confidence. This tells me. So these altars are open this morning. You need some repenting? Listen, don't walk out those doors. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not even guaranteed this afternoon.